The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Does John 3:16 really provide assurance? Well, let's find out. This is Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us for today's exciting episode. If you've listened for very long, you've probably noticed that we have wonderful questions asked to Bob and Sean. You may wonder, where do those questions come from? They come from listeners just like you. In fact, I hope you feel free to send us your questions. You can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
You know, one of the things that I really appreciate about this ministry is being able to reach people around the world. And here's a new country. This is a new country.
What country? Is it Eswatini?
No, it's not Eswatini.
It used to be called Swaziland.
It is. You know, Bob and I play Countries of the World on Sporkle.
Right.
How many countries are there in the world?
197, according to Sporkle.
Right. That's a lot of countries. I see like Caribbean islands and
right.
stuff that
and
aren't listed.
And they're called islands, so I think there's more than 197
yeah,
officially.
And I don't know what their reason is for excluding some as opposed to others. I'm
yeah.
not sure. But 197, and here's one of them. This is Michael from Latvia.
I know Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
I'm not
Latvian, but I could
no.
be. I'm half Serbian.
You're half Serbian, so yeah.
That's close.
No, you know, I don't know very much about Latvia. And I bought a globe for the kids so that they can understand that Texas isn't the whole world. And it's been very helpful. But anyways, here's a question from Michael from Latvia. Basically, his big question is, does John 3:16 really provide assurance? And here's what he says. I understand your argument that a Christian could not possibly lose his or her salvation because everlasting life in John 3:16 is by definition a life that never ends, therefore a life that can't be lost. But why couldn't we see the everlasting life mentioned there as solely meaning life in heaven? That way Jesus would have been basically saying this, whoever believes in me has a place reserved in heaven where we'll live forever there or has everlasting life there. I'm troubled with this interpretation, though, because it, of course, means assurance of salvation is gone. There's a few issues there. So he agrees that, you know, everlasting life, you know, by definition would mean an everlasting life that can't be lost. But why not, he says, could this not be a reference to life in heaven? So,
okay, but I think he said guaranteed life in heaven, didn't he?
Let's see. Whoever believes in me has a place reserved in heaven.
A place reserved in heaven.
Right.
Well, so if you have a place reserved in heaven, that's a guarantee. Besides, Michael, here's what I'd say. John 3:16 not only says whoever believes in him has everlasting life, it also says whoever believes in him will not perish.
Right.
Well, will not perish is a done deal.
Ah.
And it goes on to explain in verses 17 and 18 that perishing refers to eternal condemnation. So there is no eternal condemnation for the believer.
Right.
The second thing I'd say,
so
Mike,
what you're saying is, even if it's a reference to heaven, and some people say, you know, everlasting life should really be translated life in the age,
yeah,
or
right,
life in the
right.
ages. They say that's the more literal Greek.
Even if you took that, it's guaranteed.
And you're saying, okay, so then it wouldn't be a quality of life we have now, but it would be a guaranteed promise of being there in the future. So you'd still have assurance.
Right, except that I would say quality of life is half of everlasting life, and quantity of everlasting life is the other part of it. So if
right.
I have everlasting life, it lasts forever. And secondly, it's a life full of potential, right?
Right.
I've come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly.
Well, I mean, like, if someone thought everlasting life is really life in the age, that means nothing within me changes when I believe. I just get this IOU like for this life and the age to come.
Right. And that, of course, doesn't fit because of all the references in Scripture to the fact that when we're born again, the way I remember it is ribs.
Well,
get the
we get
indwelling
changed.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
regenerated. R. We're indwelt. I. We're baptized into the body of Christ. B. We're sealed forever.
Yeah.
S. All that occurs. And
yeah.
Chafer had 33 things that happen at the moment of faith,
yeah.
right? You know, justification is one of them. God declares us righteous. There's a
right.
whole lot of things. Now, do we change in our constitution? Well, no, the flesh still is the flesh, But now what we have is the born of God person within us,
right.
And that's a sinless person.
Right.
And the reason we sin is because we still have our mortal bodies. Once we get rid of our mortal bodies and get immortal bodies,
right.
Well, then we won't sin anymore.
But your point is, even if it were, as Michael was saying, just a promise of going somewhere when you die, it's still a guaranteed promise.
It's still a guaranteed promise.
You would still have assurance, you know, that that's where you're going, that's where you're going to spend forever and ever.
That's right. And Michael, the other thing I would say is read through all of John. Okay, John 3:16, never perish. John 5:24, shall not come into judgment. And also John 5:24, has passed from death into life. Passing from death into life doesn't mean I've got a guaranteed future. I'm already in life now. Whatever that is, I already have it. And then you also have in John 11, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. You also have in John 6, he'll never hunger, he'll never thirst, he'll never be cast out. In John 10, no one can pluck you out of my hand. So when you take all of John's gospel, it's very clear this life everlasting cannot be lost. But even in John 3:16, it's crystal clear. And well, I like the question, though.
Here's a related question from Michael. And Michael's referring to a blog, I guess you wrote on June 30th. He says, Bob wrote the following in today's blog post. A person could believe once saved, always saved, and yet might think that everlasting life starts after you die. He would be wrong, but born again. This is what you say.
Right.
And Michael says, but John recorded Jesus saying that the person who believes in him has everlasting life. See John 6:47. The two elements of this promised life are one, that it will never end, and two, it is the present possession of the believer. So even if a person believes that everlasting life will never end, but that it's not his present possession at the moment of belief in Jesus, but something he only gets after physical death, then he's not believed both elements of Jesus's promise. What would you say?
Well, I get what he's saying. I guess, hypothetically, he could be right. However, there are places that refer to salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That means you'll be saved at the moment you're born again. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Now, I know that means born again now because I've studied the context and I know verse 5 that says he made you alive, by grace you have been saved.
Yeah.
But at the time I came to faith, it was through Ephesians 2:8 and 9. I became convinced that I was saved by grace through faith apart from works and my salvation was forever, but it wasn't until about a month or two later when I was studying 10 transferable concepts with Campus Crusade for Christ that I learned John 6:47 that the believer has everlasting life. Now, is it possible I wasn't born again till that point? Maybe. But the thing about it is, it seems to me once you believe in Jesus for salvation, that is secure.
Right.
That's the same as believing in the gift of God, which is everlasting life that can never be lost. Now, he's right, of course, Michael is right, that if you look at it that way, you don't see it as a present possession. You see it as a future.
Well, I wonder, and this is a different Michael, by the way, asking a related question, and I wonder if the same answer applies to this Michael. So even if you think everlasting life starts after you die, you could still believe, but the IOU is mine. The promise has been given. You know, it's certain where I'm going to be forever and ever and ever.
Right. But this other Michael does make a good point. That is not what Jesus promises. So you're really not exactly believing the promise. But the question is, if you believe something that's synonymous with the promise, which it seems to me, his promise is you have the life now and it will go on forever.
Yeah.
Well, if I believe the forever part, okay, I'm going to live with him forever. I've got a guaranteed home in heaven. I'm justified. I'll never be unjustified. I have a relationship with God that can never end. It seems to me I believe the gift of God of John 4:10, which is everlasting life. I believe it goes on forever.
Yeah.
I just mistakenly think it starts when I die. Now, I don't think the salvation starts when I die. See, what I thought was, I'm saved now, and then when I die, I get everlasting life.
I get this immortal body or whatever it is.
Right, and the truth is, there is a sense in which the everlasting life I have now is not as full as it's going to be when I'm glorified, right?
Right.
Because then I put off the flesh, and that's kind of the way I was thinking of it. I don't know. I guess if you'd pressed me and said, so do you have a relationship with God? I would have said, of course.
Yeah.
So do you have God's life? I probably would have said, of course. Yeah. And they said, what do you call that life? I probably would have said life or spiritual life or something.
Right.
But the thing about it is, I don't base this on my own testimony.
Well, that's
it just
it.
Seems to me,
yeah.
Scripture says, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for justification, salvation, everlasting life, we got it.
Mm-hmm.
Hypothetically, a person could believe in him for justification and not realize that they have something called everlasting life.
That a part of them is regenerated and filled with this type of life.
It seems to me that's possible, but I don't have a problem.
I wonder if it's even more than possible. I mean, how many people, when they hear everlasting life, it's one thing just to repeat the words like a parrot can
right.
repeat the words, but then to understand what exactly that means. I wonder how many people actually understand what that means. I mean, what does it mean, really? What does it mean more than being born again, exactly, having everlasting life? It's like you're regenerated with this part of you that now can survive physical death. I mean, I'm not quite sure what it means.
Well, of course, everybody survives physical death. Even the unbeliever we raised. But
right,
it's not
souls,
called everlasting
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem if Michael wanted to say we should always tell people they've got it right now. I agree.
Yeah.
But if you're asking me hypothetically, what if there's somebody like me who believed they were saved once and for all, and it was by faith in Christ, apart from works, and then they died before they learned that's called everlasting life and that you've got it right now? The idea that that person would go to the lake of fire doesn't make much sense to me because they've already believed in Jesus as their Messiah,
yeah.
as the Savior,
yeah.
for everlasting life. Even though they don't know that term, they're believing that in him for a secure eternal relationship. So
right.
that's the way I would take it. But it's a great question, and what we're doing here is cutting the
baloney.
The baloney pretty thin. Exactly what is it that we need to believe to be born again? We got to believe in the gift of God and the giver, John 4:10. The gift is everlasting life, I would say, or the equivalent.
Yeah.
And the giver is obviously the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah.
Right. Amen. Well, thank you to the two Michaels for those related questions. I really appreciate that one of the Michaels was responding to a blog. I'd highly encourage you to sign up for our blog. It comes out every day. You know, and not every blog is going to bless equally, but I guarantee you there's going to be at least one blog a week that's really going to challenge you and make you look more towards Jesus. And so
Amen.
Sign up today.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to talk about what will happen to the souls of infants during the rapture. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.